Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Tom, and what a joy it is for me to be able to say that. If you can, let's take the Word of God, turn to the book of 1 John as we continue our study of that great, great book. I'm glad you've chosen to join with me, and I pray that our time together will bring glory to God, will honor our Lord Jesus Christ, will edify you, and will just draw us closer to Him. I miss being with you, miss being in our auditorium, miss being in our sanctuary, in our building that God has blessed us with. But boy, it sure stirs my heart with a deeper longing to be in the house of the Lord with you. We're going to look today at 1 John verses 7 through 11. Now, I'll tell you, I'll probably not get beyond verse 8, and that's okay. We'll continue next time, the Lord willing, with the verses that I do not touch today. But what a blessing it is to look at this letter that the Lord has written to us, His family, His children. Remember, we learned that we're little barn ones, little born ones, little children. Very intimate, and John continues with what he's wanting us to know. So I'm going to pick it up in verse 7, read down through verse 11, and we'll try to study and see if we can glean some things that will edify us. He said, "Now, brethren," boy, I like that. I like that name. He said, "I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you." And pay attention now to that phrase, "in Him and in you," because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Now, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Well, I'll tell you what, John, listen, John pulls no punches, does he? But let's look at verse 7, 8 again. "But brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." Now, in order to stir our memory, when John the Apostle took pen in hand, he did so with a purpose. And one of those purposes was so that man could know, and I have emphasized that word, know, which is a, if not the key word of the letter. But to know what is the question. But to know what is the question. The answer is having the ability to know that we are saved. Now, I've often heard that in order for something to be trusted, it must have the ability to be tested. So God has designed things so that our profession of faith can be tested. And when it has been tested and proven to be true, it results in an assurance in our heart that actually meets the needs of our heart. A great need. All of us need to know whether or not we're saved. All of us at one time or another have examined our own self, as Paul told the Corinthians to. All of us at one time or another has dealt with that great enemy called doubt. So God has designed a test whereby we may know whether or not we are a present possessor of eternal life or not. And the test God has designed is set before us here by John. Now, the core of this test we'll find, it's love. And when we think about it, it makes perfect sense, especially in light of what Jesus said in John 14, 34 and 35, which reads like this. He said there, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Now remember, I told you in the introduction, John will follow in this letter that he has written the same format he used in the gospel that he wrote. There and here, he introduces to us three great truths about the one true God. These three things are, number one, God is light. Number two, God is love. Number three, God is life. And although you may have all three of those things figured out and can explain them, I'm going to confess to you, I'm still working on being able to do that. Now, I know when I see light but cannot explain what light is, but because I can't explain it doesn't mean I'm going to walk in the darkness. I know what love is and how it feels, but I can't exhaustively explain that either. I know life to be to some degree, but it contains so many mysteries for me and blessings, it would not take me very long to tell you what little I know about it. But here John is going to deal with that great thing called love. John opens his letter with truth about light. We remember that and how important it is for the believer to walk in the light. Actually, we find in this letter or this epistle that walking in light is a necessity for those who profess to know Christ. In fact, John tells us we must walk in the light if we're to have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with one another. Now also in this letter, John introduces to us the subject of love, and he does that here. And he does so by making it the core of a test that he has set before us. But the love he's referring to is the highest form of love known to man. It's agape, or love that finds its source in God Himself. This means agape love is a divine love. It means it is a love that comes from above and is, therefore, above the love that man can produce. It's more than phileo, or brotherly love. That's where the city Philadelphia gets its name from. And it even surpasses eros, which is another Greek word for love, or erotic love, which is never, let me emphasize that, which is never used in the Word of God. It surpasses that kind of love as far as the day surpasses light. Look, this agape love we're going to be dealing with, John dealt with it, so we're going to be dealing with it, or divine love has God as its source, and as you already know, it surpasses the love of man as much as heaven surpasses the earth. Yet, for those who come to know Christ as their Savior, after they are born from above, they discover this agape love to be resident in their heart. God has so designed it as to provide us an internal testimony in our heart of at least two great things. Those two things are, first of all, the fact that our conversion was real, and secondly, the fact that we have the undeniable presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within our hearts as we have believed. And that love is agape love. It is the love of God, which, according to Romans 5:5, is shed abroad in our hearts. And let me ask you something. How wonderful is that? So, I believe verses 7 and 8 need to be considered together because they are in some degree inseparable. So as we read these two verses again, we're going to learn that John's going to give us instruction on the matter of some old and new commandments. Now I know this is a little bit confusing. I hope that it's not too confusing, and that's what I prayed about and worked on trying to make this simple and understandable. So listen to verses 8, 7 and 8 again. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment. Now that commandment comes out of the book of Deuteronomy. That commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. We'll find that out in a minute. But he goes on to say, he said, you have that from the beginning. He said, let me get it again. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye had from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. This new commandment is the one I already referred to in the book of John 13:34-35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. And we're going to look at those things. We're going to find, hopefully, some interesting truths about them. So in trying to prepare both my mind and my heart for this lesson, I took the time to read after several great men, what I believe to be godly men, reliable men, and scholarly men. But what I learned and gleaned from those men in light of the way each presented their thoughts on these two verses, there seems to be no, and I hate to say this, easy way, no easy way to present the truths contained therein. At the core of all that I read, written by those men, I'm happy to tell you that I discovered they were all in agreement about the truths and the intent for which John wrote those truths. But as how to present those truths, they all took differing paths in an effort to explain them. Now, that's not a problem for me, really, because actually I would expect those men to differ in the way they would present their findings. Some of them were more simple than others, but they were all edified. And it's my prayer that the path I've chosen, which is my path, the way the Holy Spirit has led me, will help bring to light the truths John has set before us in these two verses. But now look, before we delve too deeply into the answers, I think one of the questions we ought to ask is, what do the references John gives to the Old and New Commandments and from the beginning refer to? Is John referring, now listen to this, I think this is important, is John referring to a kind of commandment or a point of time when the commandment was given? Well, hopefully, I don't confuse you, but I believe he's referring to both. For instance, the old commandment John refers to seems to be the one the lawyer asked Jesus. He was a Pharisee, where we find it recorded in Matthew 22, verse 35 and following, because there we find that lawyer asking our Lord, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment of the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Now this is the first and great commandment. The second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets." Now the places in the Old Testament that we can find those is in Deuteronomy 6 and 5. Actually, that's where we find the Shema, S-H-E-M-A, in Deuteronomy 10 and 12 and Deuteronomy 30 and 6. And it says there, "Hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God." And the inference is, with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. Even in his letter, even in the letter to Rome, in Romans 13, 8 through 10, Paul wrote something similar to that. Listen to what he says as he begins his exhortation. He says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." So as he continues with his exhortation, he says, "Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." So as to time, we find the commandment is not new. It's actually an old commandment. But John says we have had this commandment from the beginning. But now just in a minute we're going to find it's not new in time, but it will be new in practice in us. As it continues in verse 8, listen to what he said again, just to remind us. "Again, this new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true. And remember, I ask you to remember the phrase, in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." Well, verse 8 continues and speaks of this new commandment, which is true in him and in you. It is my opinion here that the phrase helps us understand what John is saying about the commandment being new. The reference to the new commandment refers to new in both point of time and in manner, seeing it manifest itself in him, referring to the incarnate Jesus, and to in you, mean you as believers, which refers to the person which has been made a new creature in Christ. As you see in the Old Testament, under the demands of the law, the command from God was to do, but without providing any power by which to accomplish whatever the command was. Sinful man cannot love either God or his neighbor as he should, even as he may like, without some sort of help. You say, why is that? Well, he has not the power within himself that would allow that to happen, whatever the commandment may be. You see, we must remember the Scripture teaches that the weakness of the law was found in the weakness of the flesh. Now, such a commandment to love that John put before us can only be accomplished when the principle of love has been placed within the heart of those receiving the commandment and desiring to keep the commandment. The only way in such a principle can be found within the heart of man is by the means of a new birth whereby one becomes a new creature in Christ. Have you ever heard someone say, I learned to love that person? Well, the truth of the matter is, if we're saved and have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit within us, we'll love other believers automatically. If we do not, John goes on to tell us, we're in trouble. Thus, we will find we have failed the test God designed for those who profess to know Him, but actually do not. You see, when we're born the first time, we only know the love as fallen man can love. But when we're born the second time, we can become enabled to love as God loves. But without that internal enablement, we cannot keep the new commandment. So look, in closing, please notice John said which thing is true in Him. Here again, I believe he's speaking of the incarnate Christ and how He was able to love men who were unlovable, even those who were His enemy. No doubt in my mind, folks, John was still remembering how Jesus spoke when He walked among men, how He acted and reacted towards all types of men, even those who wanted to take His life. You see, when Jesus became a man, the law of Moses, or actually the law of God, came resident within Him. In truth, He was the law personified. Do you remember when He said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law in Matthew 15 and or 5 and 17? You see, it was in the life of Jesus that the law came to life. And even His enemies said things like, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes in Matthew 7, 28 and 29. And we also read in Mark 2, 12, after many witnessing an amazing miracle, they said, and immediately He, speaking of the man with the palsy, arose, took up His bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. So, could it not be said that the new commandment John was speaking of was not new in time, but new in manifestation? First, it was manifest in the kind of life that Jesus had never known before His incarnation. And second, it was manifest in the life He gives to those who put their trust in Him as Savior. Well, I think so, and I hope you do too. Hey, by the way, this study is available to you on sermon audio and PDF file. So if you download the physical copy of this and read it, it might be helpful to you. And I know this has been deep. At least it has for me. Maybe it's as simple as eating a piece of apple pie. But it's a challenge to me to understand what John is saying. And I've come away personally with a better understanding of it. And it's my prayer that you have too. So, will you allow me to confess something as I close today? I'm afraid. Matter of fact, I know I need to do better with expressing the love that has been placed in my heart as a believer in Christ. In fact, I'm afraid I fail too often to love as He would have me to. I'm afraid my love has not yet been perfected, but I want it to be. You see, there are some brothers and sisters in Christ I can and do love, but I feel better loving them at a distance. And I imagine you have some of those too. I still need to work on that idea that my love needs to be the kind of love that loves unconditionally. And hopefully in our next study, we'll be able to look to that and in that just a little deeper. Hey, listen, if you got any questions, please send me a text, send me an email, call me, whatever you choose to do. Write them down and we'll look at them, and I'll try to help you any way that I can. That is my desire. So thanks again for listening, for taking the time and investing the effort to listen. And oh, how I pray that you have been blessed in some degree. Father, thank you for this time that you have given us to spend in and around the Word of God and around the Christ of the Word. May we love as we ought because we have been loved. And may we, Father, may we manifest that new commandment that is an old commandment in a way, Father, that would glorify you. In the name of your Son, I pray. Amen.